This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. I welcome our brothers and sisters, those who have been following us, walhamdulillah, attentively through the series, the 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi, rahimahullah. Brothers and sisters, another beautiful Wednesday evening, walhamdulillah. And another one of those majalis of dhikr, majalis of ilm, majalis of knowledge, majalis of us seeking our path to paradise, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. Talabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslim. Our Rasul, our Habib, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every single Muslim. Walhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the opportunity of going through these beautiful ahadith of His Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail, with you every Wednesday evening, walhamdulillah, between 8:15 and 9:15, insha'Allah. Brothers and sisters, in our previous majlis, we had begun the beautiful hadith of Jibreel. Why is it called the hadith of Jibreel? Because there was a stranger who entered into Medina al-Munawwara. He came forward, he came in a manner that people looked shocked at one another. Who is this man? How does he speak to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this manner? Who is he to ask these questions? From the back of the masjid he said, O Muhammad, can I come forward? Sahaba are all looking around, looking at each other. Do you know him? Do you know his name? Do you know where he's from? None of them knew him, subhanallah. In reality, we found out at the end of this hadith that this man was Jibreel. Atakum yu'allimukum dinakum. He came to teach you people about your religion. Brothers and sisters, this hadith is called the hadith of Jibreel. It's also called As-Sunnah, the mother of the Sunnah. Why? Because you find within it the summary of the entire Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Walhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, to recap quickly our previous majlis, we began this hadith. We stated that this hadith, the narration from Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, reported in Sahih Muslim, Imam At-Tirmidhi, Sunan Ibn Majah, Sunan An-Nasa'i, Musnad Imam Ahmed and others. As for the narration of Abu Huraira, then this one here is found in Sahih Al-Bukhari, walhamdulillah. We find that many a scholar of the opinion that this incident occurred before the final Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Others said no, it was before the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Either way, point is, this is towards the end of the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the end of his mission, subhanallah. And so this hadith summarizes Islam, summarizes Iman, gives us the definition of Ihsan, some of the signs of Qiyamah mentioned in this hadith. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we learnt about Jibreel, we learnt about the student of knowledge, his manner, his etiquettes. We learnt, for example, Jibreel came in the super white garment. O Muslim, O Abdullah, O Amat Allah, be careful with regards to your clothing, subhanallah. Yes, no doubt paramount importance is our heart, but we also should take cognizance with regards to our outer appearance. Your Rasul, my Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was in i'tikaf, but still he had his hair combed. One would have thought, at this time, during this time, maybe one should avoid all of that, but no, we take care of our outside and we also take care with regards to the inside. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, he said, O Muhammad, can I come forward? We discussed, why did he say, O Muhammad? How could he say, O Muhammad, subhanallah? Some of the ulama of the opinion that Jibreel, he was not one of the people who was addressed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of the message. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to the human beings, and he was not sent to the angels. He was sent to insan and sent to the jinn, but not sent to the angels. Thus, to Jibreel, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not the Rasul. Rather, Jibreel was the Rasul between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He also got the attention by saying, "O Muhammad," because people generally would not address the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like this. As Allah mentions in the noble Quran, "La taj'alu du'a ar-rasuli baynakum ka du'a ba'dikum ba'da." Do not speak to the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam as you speak to one another. He came in this super white garment, super black hair. Nobody knew who he was. He's a stranger, but there were no signs of travel on him, subhanallah. We learnt that the best of garments is what? Is white. That's why we shroud our den in it. And it is purer for you, O brother, O sister. Why? Because that way you would be putting your clothing in the washing much more frequently. You are wearing a black garment, you could go 2, 3, 4 days without washing it. But something white, the dirt's gonna show, and you would have to wash it very, very soon. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, he asked, tell me about Islam. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him the 5 pillars of Al-Islam. And we said that we will relegate the discussion pertaining to the 5 pillars of Islam when we discuss hadith number 3, inshaAllah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, this questioner, nobody knew who he was. He came in the form of a human being, although we learned that this was Jibreel. This shows us that the angels, they can take the form of human beings. Usually Jibreel would come in the form of which companion? He would come in the form of which sahabi? He would come in the form of Dihya al-Kalbi. But this time, this incident, did he come in the form of Dihya? No. Because the people would have said Dihya came, but rather they did not know who this man was. He was a stranger. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Then he asked the question, tell me about Iman. What is this Iman? What is faith? What is belief? Brothers and sisters, we had learned, we discussed that from the early days of Al-Islam, there was a discussion, there was conflict, there was debate with regards to the essence of faith. You had the Khawarij, for example, who rebelled against the Muslims, who broke away from the Muslims in the first century of Al-Islam. They were the ones responsible for the killing of Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And Ali, you are no longer a Muslim. You are out of the deen of Al-Islam. And they attacked Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. And they attacked Uthman, man who was over 80 years old in his house, the Khalifa of the Muslims. And they slaughtered him, Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we say that deeds, when it comes to actions, when it comes to our physical actions, etc., deeds, actions are a component of Iman. And there's no Iman without any deed whatsoever. Your Iman increases, your Iman decreases. As for the Khawarij, they had stated that yes, deeds are a component of Iman, but your major sins remove you from the locus of Al-Iman. You are outside of Iman with your major sins. Why? Because they would apply many of those ahadith. Whoever deceives us is not from us. Whoever holds up a weapon against us is not from us. You are not a Muslim any longer. Subhanallah. And they would use a hadith like this to remove people from Da'iratul Islam. We discussed the Mu'tazila, that deeds are a component and major sins, they do not take you out of Islam, but you will remain in hell forever. Allah musta'an. Brothers and sisters, we also moved our discussion to the matter of the heart and the tongue. The matter of the heart and the tongue. That some had stated that Iman is merely statement upon your tongue. The karramiyya. So according to that definition, the munafiqeen, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, they were all 100% believers. Because all you need to do is just say with your lips. Lip service, as we will call it, khalas. Lip service suffices, and you are a Muslim. Others we had discussed stated that tasdeeq suffices. Belief in your heart suffices. You are Muslim, you are mu'min, just by your belief in the heart and nothing more. Subhanallah. If that was the case, just knowing who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, etc. The ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Jahmiyyah had stated, then this would mean that Fir'aun, this would mean that Iblis, they were all believers. Because they had knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, we had stated that there's iman and its opposite is kufr. There's iman, faith, and its opposite is kufr. And then there's a separate discussion with regards to tasdeeq or belief, and its opposite is takdeeb or denial. Kufr is more than takdeeb, and iman is more than only tasdeeq. Somebody could say, I believe in you, 100% I believe in you, but I will not follow you. Rather, I'll oppose you. Rather, I will fight you. Subhanallah. He believes in his heart, but he will oppose and he will fight. Allahumma musta'an. Brothers and sisters, you find in the noble Quran, there were those who believed in their hearts. In fact, with their tongues, they also said, we believe, we believe. But then they came with istihza. They came and made a mockery of Islam and the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah mentions in the noble Quran, قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Are you making a mockery of Allah and His ayat and the Rasul? Are you making a mockery of all of that? You have disbelieved, subhanallah. You've left the fold of al-Islam. You're making a mockery of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of the believers. Oh, they are like this and they are like that, etc., etc. This in reality nullifies your iman. You had others who said in their heart, we believe. With their tongues, they also said, we believe. But subhanallah, they had that kibr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the noble Quran with regards to, for example, أَبَا وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. With regards to Iblis, he had that pride and that arrogance. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah mentions إِعْرَاض with regards to those who turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In their heart, they believed, but they turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَمَّا أُنذِرُوا مُعْرِضُونَ. That those who disbelieved, they turned away from the inzar, from the warning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah. We had also touched upon the components of faith, the components of iman. We had learned, for example, there is the belief in your heart, the profession on your tongue, and actions of your body. I repeat, iman, faith is what? It's belief in your heart, mashallah. Belief in your heart, statement on your tongue, and actions of the limbs. Subhanallah. We find Allah mentions in the noble Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ لَا يَحْزُنْكَ الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ مِنَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Do not be saddened by those individuals who say that they believe with their tongue, وَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, but in their hearts there's no iman. In their hearts there's no belief. They are the hypocrites, they are the munafiqeen. On their tongues, la ilaha illallah, but in their heart, there's no iman, subhanallah. Surah Ma'idah, verse number 41. With regards to brothers and sisters, with regards to iman, one has to have this commitment, this submission, this acceptance of this faith. Love, trust, awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should have that fear on one side and you should have the hope on the other side. If you go too much on the side of fear, there's a danger. If you go too much on the side of hope, there's a danger. Rather, it's like a bird. Love is in the center and one wing is hope and the other wing is fear. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah. We find with regards to the profession on the tongue, the benefits of professing with the tongue is like, for example, professing in court. You are testifying to a fact. You go to court and they require you to give testimony with regards to ABC. So you put up your hand, etc., and you swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you saw such and such. What's the benefit of this? This is your testifying to a fact. When we give our shahada, shahada an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, we are professing to that fact, that statement, that iman that we have in our heart. It's a statement of commitment to that fact. Beautiful. It's a statement of commitment to that fact that there is no deity worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final messenger, Rasul and Abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amat Allah. Then there's actions of the body. We find that many of the scholars, the early scholars, Imam al-Shafi'i, Hassan al-Basri, Sahal al-Tustari, Imam Malik, Sufyan al-Thawri, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, Uza'i, etc., etc., that what? That Iman is statement on the tongue, belief in the heart, and actions of the body. It is not possible, brothers and sisters, that somebody says, MashaAllah, I have strong iman in my heart. I have deep iman in my heart. I have extreme deep love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this individual does not a single iota of action with his limbs. No bismillah, no alhamdulillah, no salah, no zakah, no siyam, nothing with regards to Islam. He comes with no action whatsoever. Subhanallah. If, for example, you had a father and you had a son, and the father every day, he says to his sons, he says to his kids, I love you, I love you, I love you. And he does absolutely nothing for them. Absolutely nothing, subhanallah. Does not provide for them. Does not provide any tarbiyah with regards to them. Does nothing whatsoever. What would they say? They would say the reality is our father's actions belie his statement on his tongue. Yes or no? The husband or the wife say to one another, I love you, I love you, I love you, morning, evening and night. And they always do the complete opposite. They do not do a single iota, 0.9%, 0.1% they wouldn't even do with regards to the haq and the rights or any showing of sympathy or any showing of love or affection for the other. What would the partner say? You in reality, there's only statement on your tongue, but there's no meaning to your statement. The same here, Ya Abdallah, Ya Amat Allah. And also take note, subhanAllah, faith is like intelligence. And intelligence differs from person to person. Its height, its strength. You are well read with regards to a certain matter. You've studied it in and out for 5-10 years. You have a PhD with regards to it. MashaAllah, you have deep knowledge with regards to this matter. Deep insight with regards to it. Your intelligence with regards to this matter is much greater than the plumber and much greater than the nurse. SubhanAllah, iman is like that. It differs from person to person based upon the strength of their faith, based upon their a'mal, based upon their good deeds. The more you do, the more you will see. Some have faith like a radiant sun. Others like a candle. Others like, this flickering light. People differ, subhanAllah. Iman increases. Iman decreases. With your good deeds, it goes up. And with your evil deeds, it decreases. Allah mentions in Surah Al-Anfal, وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ When the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are recited upon them, the iman increases. Allah also mentions, subhanallah, الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدَ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ And those who, when it is said to them that the enemy has gathered to face you people, فَخْشَوْهُمْ Fear them, فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا That in reality their iman increases. And what did they say? وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ Sufficient for us is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best wakil. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amat Allah. These verses and others show us that and prove to us that iman increases and decreases. And you know, when you are performing salah in front of the Kaaba, certain days in the darkness of your own home, you wake up with the tahajjud salah, and subhanallah, you felt that sweetness. You felt that increase in iman, subhanallah. You felt in Ramadan, mashaAllah, the first night of Taraweeh, all the brothers in the masjid, you felt something. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amat Allah. And there are other times when we are so deep in our sinning, when we are backbiting and gossiping and arguing and fighting with this one and that one over religious matters, over non-religious matters, over wealth, over health, whatever it might be, over our pride and our ego, Ya Abdallah, Ya Amat Allah, you find that iman decreasing and going down, subhanallah. Our love, our fear, our reliance, our hope is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our salah, our dhikr for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are certain times your iman increases, at times it decreases. There are certain places that your iman increases, and there are certain places that your iman decreases, subhanallah. You are ashamed, you are afraid, you feel out of place to even show that you are a mu'min, that you are a Muslim. Nafaqa Hanzala. Hanzala, he came to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and he says that I'm a munafiq. I'm a hypocrite. Abu Bakr says, what are you talking about? What do you mean you're a hypocrite? He says, Ya Abu Bakr, you know that when we are with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our iman is like this and iman is like that and it's super high, etc. Then we go home and we get busy with the family and we get busy with this and get busy with that and our iman decreases. I fear that maybe I'm a hypocrite. They go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam assures him that this is not a matter of hypocrisy, subhanallah. As-sa'a was-sa'a. There's a time for this and there's a time for that. Unless, you know, we were like the angels, we'll be riding that wave all the time, subhanallah, then maybe the angels would come down and shake our hands. We would be like the malaika, rather we are insan. And insan is always in nisyan. Insan always forgets. Nasiya Adam wa nasiya dhurriyatahu. Adam forgot, and his offspring, his children, they also forget, subhanallah. So brothers and sisters, the definition of faith, definition of iman, belief in the heart, statement on the tongue and actions of the body. Iman increases with our good deeds and it decreases with our evil deeds. Brothers and sisters, whatever, wherever you are, have your iman in an increase. Do a little bit of dhikr. Do a little bit of good. Remove some harm from the pathway of the people. As we learned last week in our previous majlis, iman has various branches. One of those branches, to remove some harm from the pathways of people. Brothers and sisters, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we take a short ad break, and when we return, we continue. Hayyakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail, with you every Wednesday evening, and our current topic of discussion, the 40 ahadith of Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah. Our current discussion, the second hadith in that series, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, the hadith of Jibreel. Brothers and sisters, we now move on to the next matter, and that is, in this hadith, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, what is Islam? Then, what is Iman? And then, what is Ihsan? Take note, these three levels. You have Islam, then you have Iman, and then you have Ihsan. Brothers and sisters, who is the true Mu'min versus the Muslim versus Ihsan? We find in Sahih Bukhari, the companions, they said with regards to a certain individual, he is a Mu'min. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, maybe he's a Muslim. Meaning, he's maybe not that on that level as yet. You know, Muslim suffices. This individual is not on that mu'min level. We say that every true mu'min is first a Muslim. Then later on, he is that mu'min. I repeat, every true mu'min is first a Muslim. Muslim, and then as you advance, you are mu'min. As you advance, you are muhsin, bi-iznillahi ta'ala. So not every Muslim is a true mu'min in the absolute sense. Not every Muslim is a true mu'min in the absolute sense. Example, hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. None of you truly has that true iman until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. If you don't have that, does it mean you're no longer a Muslim? Does it mean you're out of the fold of Al-Iman? No, you are. But you are not a true mu'min. The true mu'min is the one who loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Subhanallah. And that's not an easy matter, brothers and sisters. That hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. That he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Imagine if we really felt like that. Imagine if we were really on that level, subhanallah. How much of our quarreling, of our ghiba and our namima and our backbiting and our issues and our problems and our breaking away and our slander will all go down the drain. Why? Because I love for my brother what I love for myself. I love for my sister what I love for myself. That's the true level of iman, that true mu'min, subhanallah. You find, for example, لا يزني الزاني حين يزني وهو مؤمن, that nobody fornicates with iman while he is fornicating. لا يزني الزاني, while he is fornicating, while he is in the act of fornication, the reality is like his iman is above his head. The iman is like above his head, subhanallah, until he's over with this act. Does it mean that this individual is out of the fold of al-Islam? Does it mean he's out of the realm of iman? No. But rather what it does mean is that he's not a true believer at that time. He's not a true believer. His iman, subhanallah, is not on the level of a true believer. He's still a believer, but not a true believer, as he does not fulfill his faith sincerely. Excellent. He's still a believer, but not a true believer. Why? Because he is not fulfilling his faith sincerely. He's a sinner. He's a sinful mu'min. He's still a Muslim, and the rights of a Muslim are still due to him. And then you have the higher level, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, and that's the level of Ihsan, subhanallah. أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though you see him. And if that's not the level, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. The scholars also state that if Islam, iman and ihsan are mentioned together in the same context, then they have a different meaning. They have a specific connotation each. But if, for example, they are mentioned individually, then they include all the others. If, for example, somebody says the true mu'min is such and such, he's talking about a special meaning. Somebody says the true Muslim is such and such, special meaning. If, for example, somebody brings them all together, then in reality, then each one of them has a special, specific connotation. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But if somebody says the mu'mineen, Allah mentions in the noble Quran, such and such is for the mu'mineen, that includes the muhsineen, it includes the muslimeen. If Allah mentions in the noble Quran, Allah loves the muhsineen, then it includes the muslimeen and it includes the mu'mineen. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. The author, or rather, Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, from amongst the matters mentioned in this hadith and its importance, is that it includes the articles of faith. The articles of faith. We touched upon briefly the five pillars of Al-Islam and further discussion in hadith number 3, inshaAllah. As for the articles of faith, then our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam began with belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is this called, brothers and sisters? Belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do we call it? We call it Tawheed. We call it Tawheed. Asserting oneness. Making something one. Asserting the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find Abu al-Izz al-Hanafi, he states that most of the Quran, if not all of the Quran, is about Tawheed. Ask him how. What do you mean all of the Quran is about Tawheed? He says, well, subhanallah, what do you find in the noble Quran? The names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asma wa sifat. You find, for example, the issues related to calling people to Tawheed and keeping them away from Taghut, keeping them away from false deities, keeping them away from Zalimeen. So subhanallah, that's Tawheed. He mentions that the commands and the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because they are the fruits of Tawheed, the implications of Tawheed. Then he mentions the Quran's full of reward for the believers on Tawheed. Those who believe in Tawheed, their reward in the hereafter, their reward in this world and the next. Then he also mentions the Quran has the discussion surrounding the mushrikeen and their punishment in this world and in the next world. The mushrikeen, those who went against Tawheed, those who fell into the matter of shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find, for example, he states, Suratul Fatiha. Read Suratul Fatiha. He mentions that every single one of the verses of Suratul Fatiha covered the matters of Tawheed. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, this Tawheed, to further understand it, it's the most important matter. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And we've not created mankind and jinn except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except to testify to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship that Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Many a scholar has stated that Tawheed can be divided into three categories, and there's no hard and fixed rule with regards to the categories as long as the meaning behind them has been established. Example, Rububiyya, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's actions. Who created? Allah. Who sends down rain? Allah. Who's our creator, our nourisher, our sustainer? Who's the one who provides for that lizard in the middle of the desert? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who's the one who provides for that mosquito? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That leech, who provides for it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who's the one who grants that intelligence, that knowledge to the ant, that makes it do whatever it's supposed to do, for it to keep its stock for the winter? Who inspires it to do that? Subhanallah. Who inspires the bee to move in a certain direction? None other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who provides for that blue whale tons and tons of krill every single day? None other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawheed rububiyya. Brothers and sisters, then you have Tawheed of Asma wa Sifat, Allah's names and attributes. Believing in those names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ascribed to himself, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ascribed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we accept and we acknowledge. And the attributes ascribed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the noble Quran and in the Sunnah, authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we acknowledge without negating or stripping or distorting or misunderstanding, etc., or understanding them in an anthropomorphic sense, or interpreting them figuratively, etc., etc. No. Sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we accept Allah's beautiful names and attributes. Walillahi al-asma'ul husna. And belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala those beautiful names. Brothers and sisters, then tawheed uluhiyya. The worship is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have acknowledged Allah is my creator, my nourisher, my sustainer. Allah is the one who gives and takes and gives life and takes life. I've acknowledged all of that. Now, my worship to only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That only Allah is worthy of worship. None others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deserving of any aspect of worship. We find, for example, with regards to rububiyya, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's action. He is the one who provides and sustains and nourishes. Allah mentions in the noble Quran, قُلْ لِمَنِ الْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Asking the mushrikeen, asking the pagans. The pagans, subhanallah. قُلْ لِمَنِ الْأَرْضُ. To who belongs the earth? وَمَنْ فِيهَا. And everything in it. إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. If you but knew. سَيَقُولُونَ لِلَّهِ. They will say that it belongs to Allah. I repeat, ask the mushrikeen, to who belongs this earth and everything in the earth? They will say it belongs to Allah. أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Do you not then think? Do you not then take a reminder? قُلْ مَنْ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ السَّبْعِ وَرَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. Say, ask them, ask the mushrikeen, ask the pagans. مَنْ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ السَّبْعِ. Who is the Rabb? Who is the Creator? Who is the Rabb of the Samawat, of the skies, the seven skies, and the Rabb of the Arsh al-Azim, the great majestic throne? سَيَقُولُونَ لِلَّهِ. They will tell you that it is Allah. Mushkila, subhanallah. So these people acknowledge, they acknowledge Allah as the Creator and Sustainer and Nourisher, etc., etc. Then how come they are mushrikeen? How come, subhanallah? Allah then states, قُلْ أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. Do you not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? قُلْ مِنْ بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ يُجِيرُ وَلَا يُجَارُ عَلَيْهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ سَيَقُولُونَ لِلَّهِ قُلْ فَأَنَّا تُسْحَرُونَ. Surah Mu'minun, verse number 84 to verse number 89. قُلْ مَنْ بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Say, to who belongs this dominion and power of everything? Who has the power over all these things? Who is the one who protects and no one can protect against him? In kuntum ta'alamun, they will all say to you, سَيَقُولُونَ لِلَّهِ. They will say it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ فَأَنَّا تُسْحَرُونَ. Then why are you so deceived? Why are you so far away from the truth? Allah musta'an. They acknowledged, they knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their fitrah, they couldn't deny their fitrah, their innate human instinct and nature, that Allah is our creator, but they would worship others with their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would join others and give others a share with their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah musta'an. Brothers and sisters, Tawheed uluhiyya, which is that we only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the only one worthy of our worship. This is the actualization of Tawheed. The other Tawheed, rububiyya, etc., one might state that this is theoretic. This is your acknowledgement, your understanding. As for uluhiyya, this is the actualization of the tawheed. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That we've not created insan and jinn except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Dhariyat 56. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that only He should be worshipped. Surah Isra, verse number 23. Ya qawmi i'budu Allah ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. Every one of the anbiya, they would say, Ya qawm, O my people, u'budu Allah, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. You do not have any other rabb, you do not have any other ilah besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your actions, your statements, your inward, your outward, your love, your fear, your hope, your awe, your trust, your seeking, all directed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, the proud and the arrogant one, he doesn't want to be governed by a being whom he must acknowledge to be greater than himself and to whom he must be grateful. Iblis and others and the arrogant ones, etc. It's difficult. He's proud. He's arrogant. He doesn't want to be governed by a being, by a creator, whom he must acknowledge that, you know what, this creator is greater than me. This creator is my benefactor. Difficult. His pride, arrogance doesn't want him to acknowledge that Allah musta'an. And that he has to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the true believer, he has this gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from that is born that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the regards to our aspects, our different types of worship, he mentions, الدُّعَى هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ. Dua is worship. Dua is worship. Hadith reported by Imam Abu Dawood. And the other narration, الدُّعَى مُخُّ الْعِبَادَةِ. The dua is the essence. It's the head. It's the crux of worship. Although the second narration has some weakness in it. SubhanAllah. Brothers and sisters, when you are making dua, if dua is the pinnacle of worship, when you are making dua, when you are supplicating to another, be it whatever, be it that idol, be it whatever, but when you are supplicating to another, you are showing your trust and reliance in that other. Important. When you are making dua to whoever or whatever, what you are showing, what you are indicating, your actions show that your trust and reliance is in that other. You are demonstrating your need for that other. You are demonstrating your faqr to that other. You are demonstrating your poverty, your need to that other. And we do that before who? We do that before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, we take a short ad break, and when we return, we continue. Hayyakum Allah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. We continue bi'iznillahi ta'ala our current discussion, the 40 ahadith of Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, and our current discussion, the second hadith bi'iznillahi ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, we know at times these masail, these issues, the deeper discussions pertaining to the words of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can get a bit complicated, no doubt, subhanallah. But لا يستطاع العلم براحة الجسم. As Yahya ibn Kathir has stated, knowledge cannot be sought with a body which is super nice and rested. It requires some effort. It requires some ijtihad. It requires some juhd. It requires some exertion of yourself. Brothers and sisters,
Before the break, we touched upon الدُّعَى هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ. We are talking about uluhiyya, actualization of the tawheed. You have it in your heart. Allah is the protector. Allah is the one who gives. Allah is the one who takes. Allah is the nourisher, sustainer. Allah is the one who provides for that blue whale and that lizard in the middle of the desert, subhanAllah. That lone tree in the middle of that desert, hundreds of kilometers, and there's no grass, there's no water, there's no other life. But subhanAllah, the one small tiny tree there in the middle of the desert, one blade of grass, one tiny plant, one ant, who provides for it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. From that, we discussed الدُّعَى هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ. Dua is ibadah. Dua is the pinnacle of ibadah. And this is only but one example. The example we're discussing is the example of dua. You want to take salah, you want to take zakah, you want to take all other acts of worship and put them and use them as examples. Ahlan wa sahlan. We'll touch upon the matter of dua. When you supplicate to another, be it a stone, be it this, be it whatever, be it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are showing your trust and reliance in that other. You are demonstrating your need for the other. You are demonstrating your trust in that person, in that being, in that individual, in that stone, in that whatever. You are demonstrating your trust in that being's ability to know, to understand, and to fulfill your needs, subhanAllah. When we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is as if we are stating that, O Allah, you know, you understand, and you are the one who fulfills needs. So fulfill our needs. This was Tawheed Uluhiyya. Then there's the Tawheed Asma wa Sifat, names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beautiful and perfect they are. Allah hears, Allah sees, Allah is knowledgeable, Allah is most powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is close to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will see Him on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And we also acknowledge, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is none like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of creation is similar to the Creator. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sami', is all hearing, and is all seeing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negates any tashabuh between Him and creation, and then acknowledges that He is the one who's all hearing, and He is the one who's all seeing. So we had stated that Tawheed can be divided into these three categories. Others might divide it differently. No hard and fast rule. Tawheed Rububiyya, Tawheed Uluhiyya, and Tawheed Asma wa Sifat. You find, for example, another classification could be that you have Tawheed Ilmi and you have Tawheed Amali. Tawheed Ilmi means Tawheed of knowledge, Tawheed which is rational but not in action. And this further can be divided into three categories: Tawheed al-af'al, Tawheed al-sifat, Tawheed al-dhat. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unique in His actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unique in His attributes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unique in His essence. And this here covers up, like in our previous category, Tawheed Rububiyya, the Lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Asma wa Sifat. And then we have the second category, Tawheed Amali, Tawheed in action, Tawheed of Ibadah. And this can be further divided into three categories. Ifradullahi subhanahu wa ta'ala bil wilaya, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we single Him out with regards to our loyalties. We love and we hate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Ma'idah 55, Surah Ma'idah 51 discusses this. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when his father said whatever he said, when his father did not want to listen, Ibrahim alayhi salam says, I'm far away from all of these deities, I got nothing to do with all of this here. Then we also find Ifradullah bin Nusuk, singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our acts of worship and our rights. My hajj is for Allah. My zakah is for Allah. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Only you do we worship, and only from you and in you do we seek help. Ifradullah bin Nusuk, in our salah, in our zakah, our siyam, etc. for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third one being Ifradullah bil Hukm, that we single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to legislation.
وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليحكم بين الناس. Surah Baqarah verse 2 and 3. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send down the book لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ, so that it can be a judge between the people. Allah mentions إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ لِتَحْكُمَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِمَا أَرَاكَ اللَّهِ. Surah An-Nisa verse number 105. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send down the book with the truth لِتَحْكُمَ, so that it can be a judge between people بِمَا أَرَاكَ اللَّهِ, in accordance to the wishes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. Surah Yusuf verse number 40. Verily the rule, the dominion, the judgment is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا إلها واحدا لا إله إلا هو سبحانه عما يشركون. Surah Toba verse number 31. That اتخذوا أحبارهم, they took their priests, they took their rabbis, they took their priests, the clergy, as gods, as lords besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا, and they were not ordered except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala إِلَهَا وَاحِدَ, one being Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illa hu, no deity worthy of worship besides him. سُبْحَانَهُ وَعَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ, he is above what these mushrikeen attribute to him, Allah musta'an. So these individuals, they had taken what? When it came to the matter of legislation, they were following their rabbis and the priests in whatever they legislated, they went with that, and they left aside what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had legislated. Allah musta'an. We find وَلَا يُشْرِكُ فِي حُكْمِهِ أَحَدًا, and do not associate with Allah any when it comes to his legislation. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's laws, and refusing to implement his laws would be a violation of one's tawheed. Submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your tawheed, and refusing to implement his laws, we're not talking about the brother is sinful, we're not talking about lax, we're talking about refusing to implement the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equals a violation of your tawheed. Allah musta'an. And one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hakam, the one who is the judge, the one for who judgment is reserved. Allah musta'an. So in reality, if we call Allah the Al-Hakam, but in reality we do not give him the hukum, then in reality we've fallen short, subhanAllah. We've only given Allah the name, and we've not made the reality on the ground for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. With that, we conclude the matters pertaining to the Tawheed, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Muhammad, akhbirni anil iman, tell me about iman. Al imanu an tu'mina billahi wa malaika, to believe in Allah, and that's what we covered, the matter of Tawheed. To believe in Allah, we covered in the matters of Tawheed, walhamdulillah, and its divisions and categories. Then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "An tu'mina billahi wa malaikatihi, and the angels." The second article of faith. They are created from light, brothers and sisters, but they can take form and they can go into the form of bodies. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw Jibreel twice in his original form. He is the only from the Anbiya who saw the angel in the original form. He saw Jibreel twice in the original form. They are always, always in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unlike humans and jinns who have choice, angels do not have a choice. If you do not believe in angels, brothers and sisters, that means technically you will also reject the revelation. You have to reject the revelation, the Torah, the Injil, the Zabur, the Quran. Why? Because this was brought by the angels. And when we say we believe in the angels, we should believe in the existence, the specific names which might have been mentioned, the attributes of the angels, actions that they perform, their duties. Jibreel, for example, he's in charge of the Wahi. Israfil, in charge of the trumpet which would be blown towards the time of Qiyamah. Mikael, in charge of rain and vegetation. We find these three, subhanAllah, they give life. These three, in reality, it's as if they give life. Jibreel brought life through the revelation. Israfil, when he blows the trumpet the second time, everybody would be resurrected.
Mikael sends down, is in charge of the rain and vegetation, subhanAllah, life to the earth. Maybe that's why our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his salah, his night salah, he would begin, Allahumma Rabb Jibreel wa Mikael wa Israfil. He would specify these three of the angels. Then there's Malik, who is the gatekeeper of the Hellfire. There's Ridwan, the gatekeeper of Jannah. There's Harut and Marut mentioned in the Noble Quran that they had come down. Munkar and Nakir, who will ask you questions in your grave. There's Israel, as some say, this is the name of the angel of death. But in reality, we do not have any Sahih hadith or verse of the Quran which can attest to that. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Subhanallah. We find, brothers and sisters, that the angels are not described as being male or female. Jinn, you have male, female. Human beings, male, female. But angels, we do not describe them as males or females. And they are mighty and majestic. There's a 700 year distance between the ear and the shoulder of the angels who carried the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith reported by Imam Abu Dawood. Between the ear and the shoulder of that angel is a distance of 700 years. We don't know, talking about by horse, talking about by supersonic aircraft. Allah knows best, subhanallah. 700 year distance, subhanallah. And we try at times, you know, let me try to imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brother, can you even imagine this angel? 700 year distance between the ear and the shoulder. Hadith reported by Imam Abu Dawood. We find, for example, that around you, O brother, O sister, there are two angels with you all the time. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, إِذْ يَتَلَقَّ الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدٍ. Seated on your right, seated on your left. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. You do not say anything except that they are ready, they are watching, and they are ready to record. Have some haya, have some modesty. You want to fall into this sin and that sin? Allah's watching, yes. Remember, Allah's always watching. But you also have these two angels with you all the time who are also watching. The earth around you is also watching. And it will testify on Yawm al-Qiyamah against you. Allah musta'an. It will testify either for you or against you. The angels, they were ordered to bow down to Adam alayhi salam. فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. That all of the angels, they went down and they prostrated to Adam alayhi salam. As for Iblis, he didn't. Was he from the angels? No, he was not. He was from the jinn. But he was in the company of the angels. What are some of the benefits when it comes to believing and having faith in angels? Number one, that one understands Allah's great care for us, Allah's great love for us, that He's created these angels to support us. The angel in charge of the wahi, angel in charge of the rain and the vegetation, subhanAllah. Allah loves us, and so He's created these angels and put them in charge of such and such duties. We also find the benefit that the angels are watching us and recording whatever we do. This is a deterrent. Stay away from that sin, brother. The angels ready to write, Allah musta'an. Brothers and sisters, the angels, they send salawat upon us. They make dua for us. They make istighfar for us. They seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for us. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. We find our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions that إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ وَأَهْلَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ حَتَّى النَّمْلَ فِي جُحْرِهَا وَحَتَّى الْحُوتِ لَيُصَلُّونَ عَلَى مُعَلِّمِ النَّاسِ الْخَيْرِ. That Allah and the Malaika. Allah and the Malaika. What do they do? SubhanAllah. They send salawat upon the one who teaches people good. This hadith reported by Imam At-Tirmidhi. So the angels here, what are they doing? They are making dua, sending salawat, etc. upon the believer who teaches people good. We found that whoever performs salah in jama'ah, إِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةُ تُصَلِّ عَلَى أَحَدِكُمْ مَدَامَ فِي مَجْلِسِهِ تَقُولَ اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لَهُ اللَّهُمَّ ارْحَمْهُ. When you finish your salah and you are seated on your musalla or you're waiting for salatul jama'ah, the angels, they say with regards to yourself, اللهم اغفر له, O Allah forgive him. اللهم ارحمه, O Allah forgive him. O Allah have mercy upon him. ما لم يحدث. For as long as you do not nullify your wudu, etc. Jayid, you know, they do this. They do this and they make this dua for you. الذين يصلون في الصف الأول. Those who pray in the front صف, the first صف, the first line in the masjid, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala as-sufufi al-awwal." Verily Allah and the malaika yusalluna ala as-sufufi al-awwal. They send salawat upon the front saf. Subhanallah. We find, for example, the one who fills up the gaps in the front saf. There's a gap between yourself and the brother next to you, so you fill up the gap. You tell him, come closer, you move closer to him. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ الصُّفُوفِ. Those who join the safs, those who join the lines, Allah and the angels send salawat upon you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى الْمُتَسَحِّرِينَ. Those who wake up for suhoor, they eat in the early morning time in the month of Ramadan or whenever else they are fasting, Allah and the angels send salawat upon you, subhanallah. When you send salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the malaika send salawat upon you. مَا مِنَ عَبْدٍ يُصَلِّي عَلَيَّ إِلَّا صَلَّتْ عَلَيْهِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none of the slaves that they send salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except that the angels send salawat upon you when you send salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you visit the ill, the angels also, they do the same, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah. These are only but a few examples of the angels, and they're making dua for us. They're seeking forgiveness for us. They're sending salawat upon us, subhanallah. Allahumma musta'an. Unfortunately, there are also situations where the angels curse individuals. The angels send down curses upon certain individuals. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we will defer that matter for our next majlis, insha'Allah. And we will continue. Verily, iman is to believe in Allah and the malaika. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam moved on to the matter of the books and the messengers. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, when we meet again, we will continue. Hayyakumullah. Until we meet again. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah. We are only here but for a short period of time. Make the best of this time, subhanallah. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this beautiful hadith, this incident occurred when? Occurred towards the end of his life, subhanallah. This hadith here summarizes our iman, summarizes our Islam. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he left behind this legacy. We sat for an hour discussing this legacy left behind by that scholar. What legacy will you leave behind? Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.